Welcome to Ignite. I'm your host, Vicki Hamilton, and on this show, we will talk about helping leaders spark change, elevate their impact, and thrive in business. Today, I'm honored to have a guest that I've had before that you all said you love, Jose Pera, a man who knows firsthand what it means to face unimaginable challenges and come out stronger. Jose is the former CEO of Citgo Petroleum, a resilience coach for executives, and a survivor of nearly 5 years as an international hostage. He now dedicates his life to coaching leaders to thrive under pressure and avoid the burnout. So many experiences at the top. Jose, I am so honored to have you back with us today and welcome you again to the show. Let's get started on this. Many executives are facing overwhelming weight of leadership, and we know it often leads to isolation, exhausting, and unsustainable without the right tools, making burnout feel inevitable. How are you, Jose?
Hello, how are you? Thank you for having me back again.
Oh, no problem. It was a pleasure last time, and I think the audience thought the same because, you know, they keep saying, have him back. So welcome back. Jose, what inspired you to create your Unbreakable Leadership Coaching Program, and why focus on one-on-one sessions with top leaders?
Well, the people that maybe didn't hear that my first show, I'm going to give a snippet why I'm doing this. Because as you mentioned, I was the CEO of Citgo Petroleum, this U.S.-based oil and gas company here. It's the sixth biggest refiner here in the U.S. And for me, it was an honor that I had been an immigrant when I came here, and I continued my career all to the top. At the end, I became the CEO. But didn't happen this hostage situation that happened in 2017. And during that time, those 5 years, I went through a lot of process. But part of the process was trying to survive. And we began to do things that we were not trained for that. It was simple human instinct trying to survive. And we were six guys, by the way. I was not alone. We were six. Six literally living in a cage trying to survive. And during those times, we developed a series of techniques that when I came back, I began to kind of study that the things we went through and how we managed to survive. And that became what is today my coaching program. And I combined my leadership experience that I had during more than three decades that didn't have nothing to do with this situation. And I crafted this program. And why to top leaders and C-suite? Well, because I came from that space. I believe that I had the tools. I had the seniority. I had been there. I know what they can feel. So I had a lot of tools that I could share with them to help them not only to survive, they can thrive and avoid the burnout.
It's so enlightening when you have the experience and you have the wisdom behind it from the experience that you can share. And it makes such an impact, you know, as you're moving forward. So I'm sure that they got a lot out of hearing those experiences. And now we have the opportunity to experience that wisdom. What are the biggest struggles you see business owners and C-suite executives facing today when it comes to leadership?
There are several of them. One of them that sometimes leaders need to be more adaptable to the situation that we're facing today. Today we're having a society that is in crisis. A lot of things happening in the world, a lot. Every day is becoming even worse. So being in a top position, having to deal with all these things, not only internally, externally, sometimes they got overwhelmed. They don't know how to handle it. And you said it very well. Sometimes they got isolated. And when you get isolated, you're alone by yourself. You're trying to solve the situation by your own. There's where the burnout comes, because sometimes you don't manage it. And not only that, that you try to maintain the status quo, try to do the things the same way, and maybe you had to change. Sometimes it is a moment that you had to adapt to the new situation. And that's why it's so important a leader have the ability to be adaptable. It's very important.
You know, they say the only thing we can count on change, and change means flexibility and being adaptable, because that's the only thing that we know is going to happen. We don't know when, where, why, or how.
But it's going to happen.
Often, but we know we got to adapt to that change. You're absolutely right. How does your coaching help leaders turn obstacles into opportunities for growth?
Well, because they can identify. One of the first things that I teach the person that I'm coaching them is, be clear that what they're doing is their true passion. Because for me, it's important that the people be clear that what they're doing is what they really want to do. If they are walking in their purpose, what they really love to do, they will have the passion. No matter what the circumstance they will be facing, they will have the passion. But sometimes I have discovered, I have had that experience, that people that have come call me after we have done several sessions saying, hey, Jose, I discovered that this is not what I want to do. So, and now I'm thinking to people in my career, well, that can be a one of the smart decisions. So the first thing is identify if what they're doing is their true passion, is their true calling. And once they are sure that that's what they want to do, so there's where we start to work with them.
Yeah, it's I know when I think about coaching, I think about the leader saying my true calling, my passion. And you know, there's times when we question it. Is it really my passion? Is it really what I want to do? You know, especially when those times can become difficult. But you have to have that passion to get through those hard times, you know, as you continue to move forward. How does your coaching help leaders turn obstacles into opportunities for growth?
Because once they identify that what they're doing they really is what they want to do, you can try to reframe their thoughts, the way they think, in a more positive way, and try to have a better connection with their peers, with their management team, with their employees. Because it's so key when you have a better communication with them, because sometimes when you're having difficult times, you don't see solution, and maybe in your team can be the solution, but you have to connect with them, and you have to empower them to bring up, you know, proposal, solution. And the only way to do that is giving them the enough confidence, trust in them, and they trust in you. So when you have that, that is where you can find solutions to many situations in life. I'm not going to say that you're going to have a magical solution, but you will have a lot of alternatives that maybe you're not seeing it because you're doing it by your own.
Exactly. Can you share a story of a leader you coached who became unbreakable through your program?
Well, I have a good friend. I'm not going to mention his name because, of course,
not for confidentiality. We don't want to do that.
He will get mad at me. But, you know, he was having a lot of problems with his personal life. He was really, really struggling with his personal life. And when I challenged him, and made, because, you know, we not only he was my client, he was my friend. So when I confronted him and put my example, because most of the things that today I teach are lessons of life, are things that I discovered, unfortunately, in the hard way. And one of the things is that balance between your personal life and your business. He was having really a lot of issues on that. And when I confronted him, and I really made him understand, thank you. A couple of days after, he called me and said, hey, Jose, you know, you saved my marriage, you know. So I said, no, I didn't save your marriage. I believe I was saving a soul, you know. and this is the type. And now he's doing really great. And he has, his marriage is doing great again. So I saw his transformation. So these are great examples.
Awesome. For a leader watching right now, who feels isolated and overwhelmed? What's the first step they can take towards becoming stronger and more resilient?
Well, first, try to change the way they behave. They have to revisit their behavior because maybe they're not being empathetic with their employee. Maybe they have to change the way they approach the people. I always say that the way that you have a great connection with employee is being people. Time to be more people, be people. And that's the way that you really connect with the people. Being people, it's simple. Really, if you see it, it's really simple. But you have to have the capacity and the intentionality to change. Everything begins in you. You have to have that intentionality to make the change.
And you know, you just said the key word. The change is within you, and you have to make that change. It has to be intentional for you. You are so right. We'll be right back. And coming up next, Jose is going to share how he went from the stage to the spotlight, speaking on some of the world's biggest platforms. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Ignite. Want more of what you're watching? Stay connected to Ignite and every Now Media TV favorite, live or on demand, anytime you like. Well, download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and unlock nonstop bilingual programming in English and Spanish. So those of you that are on the move, don't worry, we got you covered. You can also catch the podcast version right from our website at www.nowmedia.tv, where from business and news to lifestyle, culture, and beyond, Now Media TV is streaming around the clock, ready whenever you are. I'm here again with Jose Pereira. In this segment, we're shifting from resilience to influence, because Jose has spoken on some of the world's biggest platforms, from Ivy League universities to the UN. So for so many leaders, sharing their voice on this kind of stage feels like a dream that's out of reach. So leaders want to be inspired beyond their own circles. But breaking into the world of global speaking and influence can sometimes feel intimidating and inaccessible. So Jose, you've spoken at Ivy League universities, Fortune 500 companies, the UN, and even the US Congress. What's it like to bring your message to such diverse and powerful audiences?
You know, I never thought that I could be a speaker per se. When this hostage situation happened to me, is that I really discovered I could be a speaker. But for me, it went natural because I working in the oil and gas, I had to be going to attend board meetings every time. And when you're attending board meetings, you have to do snippets, short and sweet, spot on to get approvals. And that for me is funny because it's like giving a TEDx. It's an 8-minute talk. it's like doing a TEDx. So, and for me it was really very natural. I really laughed because I'm a guy that always has been really expressive. It's naturally in me. So and when I decided to begin to be trained how to speak, I didn't need too much training. It went for me naturally. So I had that ability. And then, of course, because of my story, the first thing that I was invited to the U.S. Congress to talk about the hostage situation, the hostage diplomacy. I attended an event in the Congress talking about this terrible situation and had the opportunity to talk in that audience. The next year, I was invited to the UN. I had been invited 2 times. I was invited this year, but I couldn't attend. So it should be my third year attending the UN. So that, of course, it's a very sophisticated audience there. But for me, the most joyful has been talking to kids in universities, because that really, this is the, you know, this is the future. These are the future leaders, talking to them and giving lessons of life and giving a courage how they can deal with the things in life. It is my life experience. And I will always go to talk to them and say, I am you 40 years after. So yeah, because I was there. So for me, I remember the other day I attended an event in here in Odessa. In Odessa, there's a big oil and gas activity there. And there was that young professional association of Odessa, kids in between 30, 35 years, engineers. And I was there. I felt like I was like, you know, in a time machine talking to myself. You know? So it's really, really great. And of course, going to talk to 500 companies is a challenge too, because you have to adapt your speech depending on your audience. But the frame of my speech always is related to my story. Yeah. I have a speech that is called From Captivity to Freedom, where I go all to the process when you can go through a captive situation that you don't have to be a physical hostage. You can be having a lot of issues in your life that makes you be a mental hostage. You can be captive of your own doubts, your own thoughts, your own struggles. So that's the way I try to frame my speech.
Wow. How did your partnership with Bruce Marin Celebrity Speakers Bureau open doors for your speaking career?
Well, Bruce has been a blessing in my life, because I got connected to him. It was incredible, because I did like a podcast like 1 year ago with a person that has a podcast in Canada. And it was not a very common podcast, because I had been talking about motivational speaking and leadership, but this was a podcast talk about oil and gas. This was a professor of the university that he went to talk about the geopoliticals of oil and gas. And we were talking about the thing that could be happening in the world 1 year after. And we were talking about the war between Iran, Israel, all the things that are happening today. So it was like a prophetic podcast. And this guy, he knew Bruce, and he introduced me to Bruce. The people that doesn't know Bruce Marion has more than 5 decades in the speaking bureau. He booked guys like Elvis Presley. He began with Elvis Presley. He was his first client. And this guy has booked all the celebrities you can imagine. It's countless, the celebrities. So getting in contact with Bruce, that is a legend, and that he believed in me, and wow, has been incredible. He has been opening doors, of course.
Wow. Elvis Presley, huh?
He did the 1970s Elvis Presley tour. Can you imagine
that? Wow, that's impressive. What leadership things do you find resonate most with audiences when you're on a stage of these world-class events?
Well, the people get related, because I'm talking from my heart. I'm talking about my life experience, and the people really get connected, because, you know, even they haven't gone to a situation like mine, they relate to the situation, because they can see themselves in because that I try, that's what I try to do. And one of the things, of course, that people always got surprised is they really got shocked how we survive our situation. And what I try to explain them, that everything has to do with the faith. Everything has to do with the faith in you and the faith in God. And there's where you get that great connection with the persons.
Many professionals want to become speakers, Jose, but they really don't know where to start. What's one piece of advice you give them?
Well, everybody has a story. First of all, you have to try to find your story, because sometimes people, I have had people that have come to me after a speech and said, oh, I will never have a speech like yours because I don't have your story. And I tell them that's not true. You have your own story. You have to find is where your story. When the people discover where is their story, is where they have to shape their story. Of course, they have to practice. And everything is related to practice, practice, practice. But the first thing is you have to discover what is the story you want to share. What is the story that you want to impact the world?
Mm-hmm. And you know, it's so important to your and to what you're saying about the story. What do I want to convey? Who's the audience you're talking to, right?
Of course.
What are some of those things that they would really want to hear? And I think that's why when we're talking to people like you who have been on global stages, you know, it's like, how do you move forward? How do you get on that global stage? And you were saying simply, tell your story. And I think that's really powerful. You know, you don't have to go and tell someone else's. You can tell your
own. No, it's your story. And you have to be the most honest as possible.
Yeah.
The people can feel when you're being truthful. You know,
yeah.
I'm not going to say nothing because I have saw speakers, they're like acting. And, mm-hmm. and you know, well, everybody has their own technique, but I try to be the most natural as possible. Let me tell you, when I'm going to speak, I pray and tell the Holy Spirit to guide me. That's it.
Amen to that. Amen to that. Because, you know, as you're speaking about it, authenticity is the best thing we can do when we're speaking, because that's going to get to the emotional connection. As you said, people know the difference.
Yes.
Jose, for those who want to follow your speaking work or even bring you into their organization, where's the best place for them to connect with you?
If you go to my webpage, joseconnect.com, you will find there is a landing page for a speaker. If you go to the, in the click in the more, you will find the speaking demo. These are all the places where I have been, and you will find there some speaking demos. You go in the more and you go to the speaking series, you hit the speaking series, and then you will find there, speaking series, yes, okay. So this is a demo reel of my speaking. If you go down, you will find several of my events, and you can book me there. Or you can go to the Bruce Mehring Celebrity Speaker Bureau and contact Bruce, and that is today my age.
Awesome. Up next, we're going to tell how Jose's story, captured in the book From Hero to Villain, became a powerful tool for leadership and resilience. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Ignite. In this segment, we're diving into one of the most powerful leadership tools, storytelling. Jose knows what it means to face setbacks and, instead of hiding them, turn them into a story that inspires leaders worldwide. The misconception many professionals have is believing that their setbacks disqualify them. Mm-hmm. Where in reality, those experiences can be the most powerful way to connect, inspire, and lead authentically. Your memoir, From Hero to Villain, became an international bestseller, Jose. How did you turn your personal story into a book change that looked at your perspective on leadership?
Well, I had a blessing that during my captivity, during almost 3 years, I could smuggle letters with my wife. So that was the fundamental of my memoir. So I had a blessing because we could capture those letters. My wife kept the originals. She sent it to me because she was here in the U.S. I was in Venezuela, and she sent was a copy by WhatsApp. So she kept the original. And when I sent her the letters, they sent it also a copy to her. And the person that took the letters, then he sent it to here to the US. So now we have all the two original, her letters and my letters. And we did like 1,000 letters between both. Those letters, I choose the most relevant to create in my memoir, because there were a lot of letters that were more family letters. But I took those letters and I combined it, and it became the book that is From Hero to Vivi. So this book that if you see this book, the silhouette is my silhouette. This is the dungeon where we were captured. Wow. and these were our captures. And, wow. and I decided to put From Hero to Villain because our situation happened. I was in the middle of a presentation in Venezuela that I was called to go in front of 1,000 people. So I was like a hero, being a standing ovation. And 5 minutes after, in national TV, the dictator of Venezuela was announcing that they captured some American spies and were kept in prison, and we became the worst of the villains. So that's why that's the title, From Hero to Villain. This book became the 2025 International Book Award Best True Memoir, and got one time Amazon bestseller. But for me, it was the surprise that 1 year after I wrote it in Spanish. And in Spanish, it became 5 times Amazon bestseller in 5 categories. And it was crazy because it went to in 5 different categories. And not only that, for me, the more surprising has been that I have a pastor that he's from Bangladesh, and he translated to Bengali. And today, the book, he sent me this today. I got really in shock when I saw this image. These are in the college studying my book. More than 40,000 copies has been distributed in Bangladesh, in Bengali. And I'm having contacts to begin to publish in India. So this pastor told me that he has been converting his Muslim to Christianity through my book. So that he's using my book as a story of redemption, as a story of how Jesus converted a person, how God, look the impact. I never thought on that, but that's the impact my book is having. Converting Muslim to Christianity. Yesterday were 200 Muslims converted to the Christianity in a session with my book. So for me, it's a blessing.
Wow. You know, that's so powerful. And to know that what you're writing about and what you're doing is changing lives. You know, from students to leaders, right? Looking at all of what you've accomplished and the stories that you're telling that they can relate to, and that you're making it available in the language of others. And that's powerful because people want to read in their own language, the one that they're comfortable with. So congratulations on all of your best-selling books and moving forward and the things that you're doing. And speaking about books, in your second book, Unbreakable, you share leadership lessons that are rooted in biblical principles.
Yes, because
how do faith and resilience intersect in your leadership philosophy?
That's a great question, because when I wrote the book, this is my memoir. Is my memoir has difficult moments because it's what happened to me. So I didn't want this book to become like a victimizing me. I wanted to share my story with the hope, the redemption, but I really wanted to write a book to talk directly to the leaders, how they can find their path to be better leaders. And I discovered that most of the things that we did are in the Bible. So what I did is I put it in this book that is The Unbreakable, based on those tools, based on biblical principles. So I walk through the book, and you can go to the Bible and see that what I'm saying, you can find it in the Bible. And I created the coaching program that is this that you have here. This is the working book, but the guide is Unbreakable. Unbreakable got 3 times Amazon bestseller too. So it has been a blessing, because this book for me is tools that you can walk through and you can find how to be a better leader based on biblical principles, things that are in the Bible. It's not me saying it, it's in the Bible.
Wow. You know, and it's something that, especially, you know, if that's your thing, in terms of being a believer, and I am one, it's so important when you can link those biblical terms and lessons to the way you're living your life, since that's the direction that you want to go in terms of pleasing Him.
Yes.
Why is it so important for leaders to be transparent about their failures as well as their successes?
Because this is the only way that you're going to be truthful. This is the only way that you're not going to be hiding in your failures. You will discover that sometimes the failures are not failures, are lessons that you become a better leader. And sometimes that your failure are going to be your superpower in the future, because you will discover that through those failures, next time you're going to do things better, and that's what's going to make you be at the end successful. If you understand this, everything is related to the faith in you and faith in God, because everything is believing in yourself and believing in Him that He will provide and He will make whatever is your dream, you're going to get there. Because God see you not like you are today. God see you like you are going to be. That's how He sees you. So what you have to do is believe it and pursue it.
Yeah, you believe it, you pursue it. And the biggest thing, which is the hardest thing, is having patience, because it's in His time, not in ours. And that's
correct.
The hardest thing to do as you're trying to move forward. For leaders watching who feel afraid to share their story, what encouragement would you give them to start speaking up?
Be vulnerable. Be vulnerable. Share your story. Don't be shy. Sometimes people think that their story is not going to be related to. The people will really relate to your story if you do it in a bold way, if you do it in a way that you are being transparent, you're going to be being honest, you're pouring your soul. The people will feel it. So your story matters. Your story can transform life, but you have to believe in yourself. That's the first thing you have to do.
Yeah, it's, you know, we have people who are afraid of getting on the stage. They're afraid of talking in front of others. And, you know, when I run into clients and they're talking about, I'm afraid, I said, you know what? If I were to ask you, tell me everything about your family, you could just rattle it off and the fear would go right out the door. You know why? It's part of you. It's the thing that you know. You own it. It's yours. Well, when you deliver a message, it's the same thing. You have to understand it, you have to know it, and it has to be yours. That's the only way to make it so that it doesn't feel like, oh my God, what am I gonna say? I can't say it. Because when it's naturally a part of you, it's easier to do. Now, does that mean you don't have nerves? Absolutely not. Everybody gets nerves when you first get on the stage, especially when you're looking out and you go, oh my gosh, all these people. But, you know, as you look at those people with just their underwear on, imagining in your mind, and you're actually talking about the content that you know so well, then it makes it a little easier as you continue to move forward. And it's nothing but practice, as you said. Get in front of the mirror and practice, and look at yourself, hear yourself, speak in front of other people that know you, but make it to a point to where it just rolls off your tongue because you know it well. And you have to believe in that knowledge to help you get there.
Yes.
We'll be right back. Coming up next, Jose is going to share how he's building his legacy through his media, community work, and leadership for the next generation. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Ignite. Don't miss a second of this show or any of your Now Media TV favorites, because we're streaming live and on demand whenever and wherever you want. Grab your free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and enjoy instant access to our lineup of bilingual programs in both English and Spanish. Now, if you prefer podcasts, Don't worry, we got you covered. Listen to Ignite anytime on Now Media TV website at www.nowmedia.tv. We're covering business, breaking news, lifestyle, culture, and more. Now Media TV is available 24/7, so the stories you care about are always within reach. As we close today's show, we're shifting to legacy. Beyond the coaching, the speaking, Jose is using media, community initiatives, and his foundation to build a future where resilience and leadership create lasting impact. The root challenge of many leaders focus only on personal success, but struggle to create the meaningful, long-term impact for their communities and future generations. Jose, you've built a wide media presence, from building resilience in podcasts, YouTube channels, to upcoming TV show Unbreakable Leaders. How do these platforms expand your leadership impact?
I'm going to say something here that maybe the audience is going to hear it and it's going to kind of, I don't know if they're going to believe me or not, but when I was in my captivity, like in my third year, one day I have a dream. Mm-hmm. I was sleeping in the middle of the night. I had this vivid dream. And when I woke up, I didn't know why I had that dream, but it was so, so vivid. In that dream, I saw two things. I saw myself in a TV studio talking and doing interviews, and I heard the voice of God telling me that I needed to create a foundation. And he gave me the name Foundation. I'm Jose Angel, and he told me that the foundation was going to be called Angels Helping in Earth. And I didn't know why that happened. And when I was writing the letter to my wife, I wrote the letter to her. It was so vivid that I did the org chart of everything. And when she received the letter, she told me that she saw that I was getting crazy. She said, oh, this guy's getting crazy. And when I came back, I got that idea. And I began to do my thing. And one day, I began to get those interviews in those programs and being guest in podcasts and this. And one day I said, oh, I want to do it by my own. So I began to call the people that had been guests in their podcast and ask them if they wanted to come to my show. And that's how Building Resilience learned. So I began doing Building Resilience, having a guest, my former hosts. And I begin to go and go and go and begin to get traction. My YouTube channel begin to grow. Today is 25,000 people that are subscribed to the channel. And my social media begin to grow. I have like 100,000 people in all my social media today. And one day I said, okay, so now I had to follow the calling that God told me. So there's where came that foundation. I already registered Angels Helping in Earth. So I'm going to launch it now in the Giving Tuesday in November. But it's already registered. I'm working with the pastor that he's helping me in all the foundation. This foundation is going to help Hispanic community have gone through trauma. They're going to be trauma recovery program. I'm going to give some teaching of financial literacy, citizenship tools. Now there are all these things with the immigrants, how they can integrate to the American society. There are going to be a lot of things they're going to be doing. But now the foundation came, but that was more because I saw myself in a studio. And that's when I got connected with media and Now Media TV. And I'm going to start my program in 1 week. In Spanish, Unbreakable Leaders. So that's the full cycle. So that's what God was telling me to do, and that's what I'm doing. I am doing what that dream revelate that I needed to do. So it happened, and it happened, and I'm doing is following the calling. That's it.
Well, you know, Jose, don't you have a new foundation where angels are helping on earth to support trauma survivors in the Hispanic community?
Yes, this one,
That
angels helping.
that one? Wow. Okay.
This one,
Fantastic. Fantastic. So I hope people saw that because it's something that they can definitely take advantage of. Why
angels
do you
helping on
think?
earth.
Yes, love it. Love it. I think we need to share all these resources we can to help our generations and to help people move forward, especially when you've been blessed with the knowledge.
Correct.
Why do you think resilience has become such an important leadership thing for audiences around the world?
Because the resilience is the fundamental of even if you're going to any situation in your life that you fall, you can stand up and continue going. That's what the resilience does. But resilience is not only stand up. The resilience is standing up, learning from the failure, and moving forward and doing the next time things better. And maybe you will fall and stand up several times, but if you are pursuing your dream, you're gonna keep going and going and going until you get there. It will take time, yes. And you said it very clear. Sometimes people lose patience. You need to have patience. You have to believe that your timing is not the timing of God, but believe that He's gonna do it. Believe in yourself and believe in Him.
How can leaders today balance building their businesses with giving back to their community, their communities in a meaningful way?
Well, this is important because today I understood that everything that you have is not because of you, it's because of God. He is the provider. You are a vessel, but He is the provider. You can plant the seed, but who multiplied the seed is Him. So when you have that you can cultivate the what I call the art of giving. And part of the art of giving is giving back to your community. So that's why I decided to create this foundation. And I do my church work too. So I'm today supporting. There is a program that we have for senior citizens in my church called Golden Heart. I'm supporting it. We have a program called The Art of Giving that is a food drive for people in need. I'm supporting it. And I do a weekly meeting here in my house with a group of my church. So I take time to give back to my community and to my church.
And you know, it's like you said, you know, blessing your communities is also blessing yourself and giving back and helping others. You know, it's that feeling of joy, that feel of completeness that you've been able to share something with someone that you have no idea how much has changed their life or what it means, you know, in terms of moving forward.
Yes.
When you think about your legacy, Jose, what do you hope leaders and entrepreneurs will take away from your journey?
That even though I went through an extreme situation in my life that I will never, and not even my worst enemy, I will say that they had to go to a situation that I went through that was terrible. But I learned that for some reason God put me in that tribulation. That I had to. That was my value. Everybody has a value. That was my value. But I learned that God was forging me, was making me stronger, and was giving me a lesson. And today, people can think sometimes that I'm crazy, but I really feel blessed that I went to that situation because I learned. I'm not blessed what that happened to me. I'm blessed the lessons I learned through that. And any person that's hearing this today, don't see yourself where you are today. See you where you want to be and pursue it. Pursue that dream. And be patient. Be patient and believe that things are going to happen. And believe in yourself and believe in God.
Well, you know, Jose, I admire you so much because something that you said just resonates so much. I wasn't blessed by what happened to me. I was blessed by the lesson I learned. Taking something very negative that was hard, that was challenging, but then talking about the blessing of learning on the other side, that is just so powerful. Jose, this has been incredibly valuable. Where can people follow your work and continue the conversation?
You go to my webpage, joseconnect.com. You will find everything. I have a landing page for my speaking. I have a landing page for my coaching. I have a landing page for my books. By the way, my new book has a page, you see there, Unbreakable Book. You can have a button that you can have this first button that you have is a purchase and sign copy. It will come to me, I will sign it and deliver it to you free of charge. So you will receive a copy, a signed copy. And also, I have here my podcast. If somebody feel they want to be a guest, you can fill the application. And it's going to be also the TV program there. I have my newsletter that I publish. It's there. It's my YouTube channel. There is a link there. I try to share as much as possible. And you can find everything there related to me. And you see there the promos for my new program, Líderes Inquebrantables, Unbreakable Leadership in Now Media TV, is gonna start next week.
Well, congratulations, Jose, and I'm going to get my book and I want it signed. Thank you so much for joining me today and for sharing not only your story, but your mission to make leadership about more than just success. It's about resilience, faith, and impact. For our viewers, I hope today's conversation inspires you to reflect on your own leadership journey and the legacy you want to create. I'm Vicki Hamilton, and this has been Ignite. Until next time, keep leading with purpose and resilience.